Stand for being here this morning. Tonight we will have our regular singing, the first Sunday of the month, and we will be praising God in song. And if any brother wants to lead a song, may feel free to do so. If you all need two or three, that's fine too. Just hope everybody will come and remember that this is a taste of heaven. The Bible describes the saints in heaven as singing, and we are grateful for that glimpse into eternity. And this is just a taste of that. The saints of God gathered together, praise God, encourage each other with song. Hope that you'll be here tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross. Thank you that he established the church, the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, that in our lives people have taught us the gospel. We're grateful, Father, for that person or persons. Maybe it was our parents or grandparents, aunt or an uncle, cousin, co-worker, friend, elder, preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, someone who taught us the gospel. And we're grateful for that teaching. And we have the opportunity to obey the gospel. And we pray that more and more people will hear about Christ and come to know the gospel, plan of salvation, and obey the word of God and be faithful to you throughout their lives. Bless us in our study this morning. We love you, Father. We're thankful for every good thing you give us. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. For our scripture reading this morning, I want us to turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Begin in verse number 1, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eunice and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What does each of us want? Some may want something physical. Some may say, well, I need a new car, or I need to get a new pair of shoes, or I need to do this, do that. That happens from time to time. But spiritually, what do each of us want? What do each of us need? And I'll tell you what it is. We all want a deep, personal, meaningful relationship with God. There has been too much religion in the history of mankind, too much false religion, where people are told to say certain prayers or say certain words or do certain things, and all of a sudden this will give you some relationship with the Almighty. And people say the words, and they say the prayers, and they say them over and over again, and all of a sudden they find out this is not working. Or somebody might say, don't do certain things. There are certain religions where you're told that if you want to be forgiven of your sins, go out and do certain good works. And so the people wanting to be forgiven of their sins, thinking this will give me a relationship with God, go out and they do the good works. And they are nice things to do. They help people. They build houses maybe, or they contribute money to something, or they help a soup kitchen or a business. It's all good works. But it just doesn't give them that relationship with God. And we really need to think that I want to really, really have that personal, intimate, meaningful relationship. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to talk to God like I talk to my friends. Now, some people in recent years, especially young people, have taken this to the extreme. And they have gone to, in leading in prayer, say things that are irreverent. One young man got in the pulpit. He was scheduled to lead prayer that morning, and he said, "Hi, Pop, how you doing?" Talking to God. That's irreverent. That is wrong. But at the same time, there are some people who will say that you must say certain words, that if you don't say certain words, if you don't say a certain tone, if you don't use certain things, then all of a sudden you're wrong. And that's just as bad, just as wrong to say it's got to be a certain way, you've got to use certain words. There were a few years ago, preachers who were saying that when you lead in prayer, you had to say thee and thou. And they wrote tracts on it, wrote articles about it, talked about it, preached about it. That if you weren't saying thee and thou in your prayers when you're talking to God, you are irreverent. That's just not true. You can be very, very reverent and not say thee and thou. What do we really want? Paul talks about this in the first few verses here in Philippians. We're going to look at that this morning. We get time, we're going to see how to achieve all that. We may have to wait until next week to do it. The first thing that Paul talks about here in verse 1, he says, "Brethren, beloved, long for my joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." If you're going to have that meaningful relationship with God, there must be stability. You don't go from one thing to another. You don't say, "Well, I'll try this, and I'll try that, and I'll try this, and I'll try this. Maybe this will happen." You can get online now and you can literally look at hundreds, maybe thousands of websites where people say, do this, experience this, have this, and you will have the relationship with God. I know a young lady who was searching this and just doing everything she could. Somebody said, if you would just go speak in tongues, you'll have that relationship with God. Well, she saw some people on TV doing this. She thought, well, maybe that's what I need to do. She went to some services. People said, well, it's not hard to do. You can just do it. Just get out there on the floor, and you can jump around and speak in tongues and do all this sort of thing. So she got out there on the floor, and she danced around a little, and she spoke in tongues, and she did all that. She did that for 2 or 3 years. And she said to me, you know, David, that didn't give me any relationship with God. All we were doing was dancing and shouting. That's all it was. There's no real relationship with God. You need stability. You want stability. Paul said, stand firm in the Lord. And that's the whole thing. Your firmness is not from your abilities. Your firmness is not from your history. Your firmness is not from your mother and father. It's not from your grandparents. It's not from your friends. It's not from your spouse. Your firmness, your stability is in the Lord. Only in the Lord. Now, the second thing Paul deals with there, if you really want to have this deep, meaningful, personal relationship, is what we might say harmony, tranquility. Paul says, I beseech you, Eutychus, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, we don't know what the problem was. These are two women, these are ladies' names, Eutychus and Syntyche. We don't know what their problem was. The Bible doesn't say, Paul doesn't give us any indication. But somehow, in a congregation that had supported Paul for all of his ministry or since he established the church in Philippi, they had been behind him all these years, somehow these two ladies were at each other's throat. We don't know what the problem was. Likely it is some matter of judgment. Paul doesn't get into the subject. He doesn't get into the topic, whatever it was. He just says, you agree or be of the same mind in the Lord. You live in harmony with one another. Now, for that to happen, Eunice and Syntyche need to sit down and really think this thing through. Whatever their issue, whatever their problem, it wasn't worth the division in the Lord's body. A congregation that is just wonderful in so many ways, supported Paul, bearing fruit for God, growing, evangelizing, doing all these great things in the city of Philippi, and you got two sisters that are arguing and having a problem. And the problem is so serious that Paul has to tell them, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you two just agree in the Lord. This really needs to be at the heart of our problems. So when there is a difference of opinion, you just say, look, this is not going to cause anybody to lose their soul, whatever the problem, whatever discussion, whatever it is, you know, just drop. Not going to be. Now, there are some things that you can feel very strongly about. There's some things that maybe you might say, look, this isn't really the best thing for the congregation. Again, go to the elders. They had elders in the church in Philippi. Paul's will tell the elders, go straighten these ladies out. He doesn't tell the two ladies, go to talk to the elders about it. He just tells them, you agree in the Lord. And to mention the fact of being agreeing or having harmony in the Lord, I think is what straightened them out. Just imagine if you were one of those women, and the elders get this letter from Paul, and they say, next Sunday morning we're going to read this letter to the congregation. And they read all the way through the book of Philippians. And then all of a sudden they get to this part, chapter 4. Eunice and Syntyche, you agree in the Lord. What would you think? How embarrassed would you be? And how would you feel? Would you say, you know, I've had this problem with her for all these months, for a year. We've been arguing and fussing and fighting. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. It's not over doctrine. It's not over teaching. It's not over something that Paul has to write about and correct us. He just says, agree in the Lord. I imagine Eunice and Syntyche felt about that big. They felt that, look, we just need to make this thing right. And I fully believe that they did. Regardless of the differences, they were going to make it right. Now, go down to verse 4. Paul now gives the next item that really is a part of this relationship. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Don't rejoice in your abilities. Don't rejoice in your possessions. Don't rejoice in your background. Don't rejoice in your family history. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with a lot of those things. If you own some nice things, that's wonderful. I'm glad for you. If you have a historical family that's been involved in all kinds of people and things. We had one member of the church up in Connecticut. This lady was a member of 5 genealogical societies. That means in her family background, they had 5 people involved in various things. So she was in the Daughters of the Mayflower, the Daughters of the American Revolution, Daughters of New England Governors, Daughters of the Civil War, Daughters of New England Clergy. Those 5 groups have been in her family background. And she was pregnant, but she never showed it. She never bragged about it. And she just happened to tell me one day when I was visiting with her about her family background. She was glad of it. She had pictures of some of these people, glad to talk about them. But her joy was in the Lord. And our joy needs to be in the Lord. Again, some people say, well, I'm happy because I've got this big portfolio. I've got all this money. Well, what good is it doing you in that portfolio? Who are you helping with that? Are you helping to take care of orphans and widows? Are you helping to spread the gospel with that money? What are you doing with that money? Your joy is to be in the Lord. Now, verse 8, Paul goes on with one more thing here. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Your thinking needs to be biblical, needs to be spiritual, needs to be godly. Quite often when I do a wedding, I will read this one verse. And I will warn a couple, say, there's going to be times when you are going to be upset with each other. You're not upset today. You're happy with each other. You think this is the greatest man, this is the greatest woman. And in your eyes, that's true. But sooner or later, there's coming a day, there's coming a time when you're going to be upset with each other. And don't say it won't, because it will. I'd just like to maybe see, is there anybody here who is married who has never had a disagreement with their spouse? Anybody want to put their hand up on that? Never disagreed. You've only been married a year? What's the year? A year, what's the year? Almost a year ago. Well, maybe you haven't yet. You haven't been married long enough. But the fact of the matter is, everybody knows sooner or later something comes up. It's usually something you don't expect. Where somebody says, well, we need to do this, or we need to do that. Well, we can't do this. Why can't we do that? Because I got to do this. Why, you can't just let that go? No, you can't let that go. Got to do this. And all of a sudden, you're arguing and fussing with each other. Why? It happens with brethren, too. But instead of arguing about the issue, if we would think of things that are, as Paul says here, true, honest, pure, just, lovely, of good report. Think about those things. And I encourage couples, I say, when the troubles come, when the problems come, and sometimes there's things you can't help. Maybe there'll be a death in the family, maybe there'll be somebody that's in the family that's real sick. All kinds of things happen in your situations. All of a sudden somebody loses the job, somebody has problems at the job. All kinds of things can happen, not your fault. It's part of life, but all of a sudden you are upset, you're tired, you're bothered, you're stressed. All these things happen to you. What do? Think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report. That word lovely is a Greek word that really means winsome. Things that are winsome, things that just are attractive. Again, when I tell couples, when you start to have a fight, think, what attracted me to this person to begin with? A man might say, well, I had some attraction to her, but I sure don't now. She's just gone all crazy on me. Well, think about those things. Paul tells us things that are beneficial. Now, verse 9, he gives one more thing there. He says, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now, Paul doesn't give a lot of description about it. He just says, you've heard things, you've seen things, you've learned things, now do it. Go ahead and do it. He doesn't accept any excuses. He doesn't say, well, you know, do it if you can do it, if it's all right, if you like it, if you want it. No, it doesn't do anything like this. Paul says, you just go ahead and do it. You have that mindset that what has God said to me? If I'm a spouse and my husband wants to do something, if my wife and my husband says to do something, I'm going to be submissive to him. On the other hand, a man needs to say, you know, I have this disagreement with my wife, but the Bible tells me I'm to love her as Christ loved the church. If I love her like Christ loved the church, I should be willing to die for her. If I'm willing to die for her, I should be willing to take out the trash. Or whatever the problem might be, or whatever the request is. If she likes going to the beach and you like going to the mountains, and you say, well, I really don't want to go to the beach. Well, you should love her like Christ loves the church. That's what the scripture says. Go to the beach. It won't kill you. If she likes a certain type of movie, is it going to kill you to watch that type of movie? Do what God has told you to do. Now, the result of all this is in verse 6. Paul says a command there. Be anxious for nothing. Or King James says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. There's the real key to this intimate, personal relationship. All these things Paul has talked about comes down to verse 6. Now, we don't have time to get into it today, but it's the real point of it. that our lives so often are stressed out. We're stressed out because we try everything else in the world. We try psychology, we try philosophy, we try business, we try work, we try physical things, we try the new cell phone, we try the automobile, we try the latest of this, the latest of that, every kind of gadget you can imagine. And if we have a two-toaster, we need to get a four-toast toaster. If we have a four-toast toaster, we need to get a six-toast toaster. We need to just get the latest and the biggest and the best of everything, and then find out it doesn't help. It doesn't help. But Paul tells us what will help. Let your request be made known unto God. Next Lord's Day, we're going to deal with that. That's the area of prayer. You really want that personal, intimate, meaningful relationship with God. It comes down really to two things. Possibly three. The main one would be prayer. Second one would be study of God's word. Third one would be living the Christian life. You get involved in those three things, I guarantee you will have that personal relationship with God. We'll discuss that next Lord's Day. We're going to sing our invitation hymn right now. If you're not obeying the gospel of Christ, we invite you to do it this morning. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess your faith in Christ, if you're willing to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, why not do that this morning? As a child of God, you realize you haven't lived a Christian life. You realize you really haven't had that meaningful, personal relationship with God. That you've been playing around with religion. You're religious, you're faithful, but you really don't have that relationship. You need prayer this morning. However we can help you in any way, we invite you to come, we encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.